Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. In a world that's filled with voices, all competing for our attention, you and I need always to be carefully listening for that one true voice, the one that we recognize, the voice that belongs to that truly good shepherd who is Jesus Christ. Based on John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, here's today's message, which is entitled, One True Voice. Basically, I guess, it all comes down to making good choices, doesn't it? Seriously, friends, would you not agree that so much of how our lives turn out comes down pretty much to the decisions that we have made along the way? And not merely the big decisions either. Deborah Brazel, who was a former associate dean of the chapel at Duke University, she has written that whereas there are pivotal moments in which we make choices that have significant consequences for our future, and you know the ones here, the decision of whether or not you're going to go to college, the decision to get married or to have children, the decision to make a career change or to enter into some kind of major shift at some midpoint of life. Things like that. There are those decisions, but along with these, there are also the casual decisions. The ones that we make over time that give expression to our values and that shape the character of our lives. What we're talking about here are the common everyday choices that each and every one of us face. What kind of relationships we have, how we are going to spend our time, what kind of work we will do, how we spend our money. That's an everyday thing, right? What we think about the most often, how we are going to be involved and engaged in our community, how we treat other people, what we keep, what we give away, how we worship, how we play. Each day, Brazel writes, we are faced with choices about how we will live. And taken together, these are the decisions that reflect who we are and they reveal the values that we hold most dear. Simply put, friends, it is part and parcel of the human condition and the human experience to continually be making choices. The question, though, that's ever before us is how do we discern what are the good and right choices to make? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that, you know, when we're children, it's relatively easy, right? We have parents, teachers, we have other assorted adults of our lives who make those choices for us. And even on those occasions when we, as they like to say these days, go rogue and independently choose a course that more often than not that's fraught with danger, those are the adults who are going to help us, whether we like it or not, to make the necessary mid-course corrections. That happens when we're kids, but somewhere along the line, we grow up. And we discover, for better and for worse, that the choices we make are ultimately our own. They're our responsibility. The consequences that come from them belong to us and us alone. And of course, when we have to make our own choices, that's when the difficulty begins. I remember once, so clearly, when I was around 13 or 14, I was asking my parents for permission to do something or other. Truthfully, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I do remember asking. And what I remember even more than that is my mother saying to me, and looking back, she was notorious for this, "Well, I don't know, you're 13 now. What do you think you should do?" Well, on the one hand, I immediately felt imbued with this great feeling of power. because I was 13 and I could make my own decisions. But honestly, there was also this abject terror because I was 13 and I could make my own decisions. And like I say, I don't remember what it was I had to decide. But what I remember is at this very moment, it became my decision to make. Not my parents, not anybody else's, just mine. And I agonized over it. What will my parents think about what I decide? How will the kids in my class react to this decision? Is this cool? Because it was always about being cool, right? Or was it one of those things that's supposed to be cool, but really isn't? You see, when we come to a place in our lives when we have to decide, when we have to choose, like I said before, that's when the trouble starts. Because all the while we're trying to find the wherewithal to make good choices, there are at the same time other voices emanating from every direction of our lives, all clamoring for our attention, each one calling us to choose them, to follow them, to ask and to answer them. Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me, and you probably remember this yourself. That's a pretty heady thing to have to deal with when you're 13 or 14 years old. But I also will tell you, if we're being honest about it, getting older doesn't make it any less overwhelming. Sometimes it's even more difficult the older we get. Well, in our text for this morning, Jesus speaks about thieves and bandits. Thieves and bandits that sneak inside the sheepfold and attempt to call out the sheep in order to steal and kill and destroy them. And it's the beginning of a whole little oration on sheep and shepherd. But one thing we realize right away here is he's not talking so much here about the dangers associated with shepherding. No, he's speaking about the risk to our lives that arise out of the fake and hollow voices that will seek to call us out of the sheepfold and away from good and right pathways. I mean, Jesus makes the point in our text today that the sheep in question won't listen to the thieves and bandits because they already know the voice of their gatekeeper. The gatekeeper who is Jesus himself. The one who came so they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's the way the message translates that. And, you know, that's a beautiful assurance, isn't it? It's one of the great assurances of the gospel. I have come that they may have life and they will have it abundantly. And yet, the other thing that this particular text shows us is that even given that wonderful assurance, you and I already know that the sheep rustlers of the world are many. And oftentimes it becomes very difficult for us to know which of those voices we hear is that of God in Christ, and which voices are not. We know all about those competing voices. And we know that they are enticing indeed. Some of those voices emanate from our need for connectedness, for popularity. Some of them come out of security, the need for security in life and living. Some of them come out of a desire for wealth and power. And sometimes it comes out of the warped view of our modern culture, of what makes someone attractive or desirable or of value. And then, of course, there are the voices that seem to speak to us of all the pain and anger that's lingering inside of us. All those feelings of isolation and emotion and sin. All those voices that one way or another, some subtly and some right out there and direct, that try to pull us away from life and faith, that want us apart from that good shepherd, so they can seize upon us. These are the things that destroy us. You know, not always in an immediate or catastrophic way, but generally speaking in a way that's little by little. in a way that insidiously eats away at who we are and what we believe, that keeps on eating away until eventually there's nothing left. That's why it's crucial, and this is sort of at the center of our reading today, it's crucial that you and I truly be listening intently, very carefully, for that one true voice that we know, that one true voice that informs our lives and living, the voice of this good shepherd, who in the words of the psalmist would make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside the still waters. So that even though we find ourselves walking through the darkest of valleys, and we do from time to time, nonetheless we fear no evil. That, friends, is the voice that we need to be listening for. Because ultimately, it does come down to the choices we make. And the choices we make, for good or for ill, depend a great deal on who and what we listen to. So the question becomes then, how do we discern this? How do we discern the one true voice of the shepherd? How do we know? How will we decide this is the voice we ought to be listening to? Well, it's not easy at all. In his book, Dangerous Wonder, The Adventure of Childlike Faith, the late Mike Iaconelli wrote about that wondrous ability of children to hear that voice. And then he goes on to say, sadly, by the time we are adults, most of us have already lost our God hearing. By the time we are adults, Iaconelli writes, we have decided that listening to God is less important than knowing about God. By the time we're grown, we have jobs, we have children. The noise of our lives has increased to such a level that we can't possibly begin to hear God, much less listen to God. But Iaconelli says there's a reason for that too, because God rarely shouts. God usually whispers. In other words, if you and I are waiting for some booming voice out of heaven, we are hoping that will drown out all the noise and confusion around us, maybe we have been going about this the wrong way. Perhaps it's not that God isn't loud enough for us to hear. Maybe it's that we've let ourselves become too loud that we can't listen to God. Maybe what needs to happen is we got to get out of the noise of our lives at least long enough so that we can actually pay attention. Pay attention to the presence of God in our midst. To hear God's voice so we can listen for his call and answer and follow. I think that's really what our text for this morning is all about. Now that said, I need to be honest with you here. Just like the disciples to whom Jesus was originally speaking, I have to confess that there are times when I am reading through this passage from the 10th chapter of John, it all becomes for me rather, well, confusing. To begin with, there's all these changes in identity. Did you notice as I was reading through that passage that first Jesus speaks of being the shepherd who enters the sheepfold by the gate, then he's the gatekeeper, then a few verses later he is saying, I am the gate for the sheep. And this is all before when he talks a few verses later about how I am the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Truthfully, and we talk a little bit about this in our Bible study on Wednesday, it's pretty typical of much of John's gospel because it gets very quickly kind of convoluted. Sometimes it's hard to figure. Sometimes you literally have to go verse by verse to figure out exactly what John is wanting us to know about what Jesus said. Well, and these first 10 verses, there's at least four different types of viewpoints. So it does get a little confusing. But what I found kind of helpful is something I read years ago about this particular passage. The writer of that passage, whose name has now escapes me, said that reading this passage is about like seeing Jesus through a kaleidoscope. You know, in other words, first we see this, and then we do a little half turn, the pieces rearrange, and we see something new. And everything we see tells us a little bit more about Jesus. It's all the same picture. It's all the same things that we are needing to understand about who Jesus is, what the message that Jesus himself has to impart to us. But it comes from a series of different points of view. But you see, what connects all these different images together is how Jesus speaks of it to his disciples and how he explains it all to us. So first, we have this image of Christ as the shepherd of the sheep, who comes to the sheepfold not by devious means, but goes straight through the entrance. And that's how Christ comes into our lives, friends. Directly, straightforwardly, openly, and honestly. No subterfuge, no slick, empty promises. Jesus simply looks us square in the eye and says to us directly, follow me. Follow me. Little half turn of the kaleidoscope, and then we're looking at Jesus, the gatekeeper, the one who leads the sheep in and out, the one who knows each of his sheep by name, and who is well known by those sheep. That is how Jesus knows us. And moreover, how we know Christ, because there's an air of familiarity about what he says. And before long, in the cadence of Jesus' own words in that text, in the evidence of his work, in the power of his promises and teaching, we begin to seek the truth of it. As Tom Long has written, it is Jesus' own voice that distinguishes true sacrifice from sham and thievery in the name of God. We know what he's there for. We know that he will care for us because we have heard that voice and we know it. And then you turn the kaleidoscope yet again, and we have Jesus at the gate. Quite literally, the one who provides and strengthens the door of the sheepfold. The gate, so that anything that gets through, in or out, has to go through him first. And with Jesus as the gate, we can count on the fact that only good things are going to get through. Everything, in other words, everything that flows in and out of our lives is going to be regulated by the standard of God's own purposes, God's own intent for our lives, yours and mine. Now, that does not mean that the tragedies of the world will not touch or affect us. It does not mean that there won't be dangers in this world that we will have to face, because we know all too well there are dangers in this life. But what it does mean is that in whatever comes, we are redeemed. We are freed from fear and alienation. And we are nourished with strength, courage, a joy for living in all of the things that affect us. And above all, living in love. We're given that which nothing else in this world can provide, friends. Because Jesus came to us not as the sheep rustlers do. He came to us that we might have life, true life, and to have it abundantly. After all, as Jesus proclaims in that very next verse of this chapter, I am the good shepherd. Yes, in this world and in this life, discernment becomes very difficult at times. But to hear the one true voice of the shepherd does begin with the right kind of listening. The kind of God hearing that begins in the heart, that hears the whispering of God as much, if not more so, than the shouting. And my prayer for us all today is that we might be intently listening, that we might be diligent in the effort of listening for that one true voice that calls us. Of course, as Barbara Brown Taylor has observed, if sometimes we have trouble hearing the voices of our shepherd, we need to be patient with ourselves. Taylor writes, because some days that voice is going to sound like a whistle, other days it's going to sound like a cluck. Sometimes it is going to sound all the world like a love song. Other times it's going to feel like a curse. It is not a voice that speaks merely in words, much less complete sentences. But it is a voice that can usually be heard. And it usually can be heard sometime between you getting up and you're lying down each day. It is the voice that when you least expect it sometimes will be the one that leads you beside the still waters. It will always be the one that restores your soul. There are so many times, friends, that there's so much traffic noise that we have to cut through that and listen to that voice. Wherever we go this week, whatever we're doing, whatever else is going on around us, our prayer should be, and I pray that it will be, to hear and to listen beyond all the traffic to that whispering of God in our lives, that call of a truly good shepherd. Take some time this week to listen. And when you hear that voice, and you will hear that voice in one fashion or another, please know it is a blessing. And for that blessing, may our thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, One True Voice. It was recorded during our April the 21st service of worship at East Congregational Church, where we would love to have you join us in person for worship. It happens every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in Concord, New Hampshire. We are a small but mighty congregation. I would love the chance to welcome you. And I know you'll be glad you came. For now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. I do thank you for listening today. And until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.